Today's first scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and can be found on page 1137 of your pew Bible. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Today's second reading, scripture rather, reading comes from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and can be found on page 1198 of your pew Bible. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever seen that image of a wise man up on the mountaintop and people climb up to him to receive wisdom about whatever it might be? I thought maybe I'd have that up here as an illustration, but I don't know how to do that, so I didn't do it. But I did look it up, and in the course of doing that, I came across a few cartoons that made me smile. I'm going to share those with you. Some of the captions. So this guy's climbing up the mountain. He gets up to the edge, and there's this old wise man sitting there. And the caption says, apparently he's asked for advice, and the wise man says, first of all, you need to find someone to blame. Second cartoon I thought made me smile. The wise man says, ask Google. My favorite, though, was this one. The guy who's climbed up to the mountaintop is clearly upset with the answers he's received. And I'm thinking he asked, what is life all about? And this is the answer he got. You mean I do the hokey pokey and I turn myself around and that's what it's all about? That one made me chuckle. I want to talk to you about wisdom because James, in the passage we're going to look at this morning, says something detailed about wisdom. And he says something that is surprising, truly surprising. He says something to us, I think, that we don't normally think of when we think about wisdom. I'm going to say basically three things to you in this sermon. Wisdom for James is defined by what wisdom does, what it does. That's why we read 1 Corinthians 13, those verses from the love chapter. Because in that chapter, love is described by what it does. It's not merely a sort of a reality outside of life. It's not merely a feeling. Paul, in describing love, says, this is what it looks like. This is what it does. James, in describing wisdom, says the same thing. This is what it does. That's how you know when wisdom is present, by what it does and how it does it. Not merely, although this could be included, not merely saying wise things, but doing wise things. This past week, our beloved chair asked me to come to a meeting. And and he emailed the others that were coming to this meeting, and he said, I've asked Mike to come to the meeting because Mike is wise. So you know what happened? I feel pressure. I'm thinking, oh no, now I have to say wise things. So I go to the meeting and I say some things, and each time I say something, I think, was that wise? Was that wise enough? When I left the meeting, did they think I was a wise man because of what I said today? James would say of that for a number of reasons, but primarily because that's not what wisdom is. Yeah, wisdom is involved saying wise things, knowing truth and speaking it. But for James, wisdom is as wisdom does. That's the primary point I want to make to you as we go through the passage. Wisdom is as wisdom does. So what? Interesting to know, interesting to observe, but so what? So what if wisdom is as wisdom does? Nice little saying, Pastor Mike, but what difference does it make? Why should it be important to me? It should be important to us because it is important to God. That quality of wisdom is valued by God. And James, earlier in his letter, instructs us, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God for it. Why? Because it's important to God that we be wise people as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking that that sort of has importance to us at different stages in our life. I'm thinking if you're in grade school, wisdom is probably not a valued thing. In high school, maybe. As we get older, though, we should note. We should have in our heads that we want to be wise people. And James would say, it's about how you behave. It's about how you talk to other people. It's how you treat other people. That's real wisdom. Third thing I want to do is I want to leave you with a question. Do I want to be wise as God defines wise? I don't know if it was in the bulletin or in the newsletter, there's a subsidiary question that goes with that. Do you want to be known as a wise person, or do you want to be wise? You can be known as a wise person because you say what may seem like wise things, but James would say, oh, no. A wise person is known by what they do. By what they say, yes, more how they say it. All right, that's where we're going with this. Let's look in some detail at the passage. First of all, in the passage, James defines false wisdom. He says, and he describes it in really harsh terms. James does this a lot. Maybe you've picked up on this. James has a lot of harsh things to say about things that are wrong. And false wisdom is one of those things. He comes after false wisdom with all that he has within him. This is what he says about false wisdom. It says it's associated with bitter envy, selfish ambition in our hearts. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. This kind of wisdom is associated with the worst in us. It is associated with demonic activity. It's associated with selfishness and envy. It's unspiritual. And again, that word, demonic, of the devil. Understand what this means. If someone has something to say that's good, that's wise, that's even appropriate. They have wisdom to bring to a situation. They have wisdom to bring to a relationship. But if they do that in a way that's destructive, that is not, as he will later say, submissive or merciful or considerate or peace-loving. If whatever wisdom a person has, and if they don't do it that way, they don't say it that way, then it's demonic, James says. Even if it's true, if it's not done right, if it's not said, as characterized by 1 Corinthians 13, in love, it's demonic. You know, if I'd written that or about that, I would have said, you know, you got to be careful with your speech. You know, you got to take care. And you know, you may be a really wise person, but you got to be careful. Not James. Mm-mm. He says, if you do this wrong, it's not just being careless on your part. It's not just taking into consideration the feelings of others. It is demonic. That's how he feels about it. That's how the Word of God sees it. So when you're in a conversation with someone, either they or you have something good to say, something that's relevant and helpful. But if you say that with anger, if you say that in such a way that it conveys bitterness, however true, even however wise you say it, it is not, according to James, it is not wisdom. It is of earth, not of heaven. It is demonic. But that's not the only thing he has to say, obviously. He has to say some things about wisdom that is from above, that is godly wisdom. He has important things to say about that. This is what he says. Generally, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Have you ever thought of that in those terms? Not that you do this very much, but when you look at someone and you wonder yourself, I wonder if that person is wise. James would say, you know, first of all, you need to look, and it's not so much about hearing what they have to say, it's about seeing how they live. If there's someone in your life who you consider wise, James says, you should consider them wise by their good life. It may be that they'll say wise things to you, helpful things to you, but it's first of all about their good life. This is how he describes this kind of wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, first of all, that's the first description, it comes from heaven, is first of all, and we'll go through these descriptions, pure. It is first of all pure. And that means it is modest, it is innocent. I just love the idea that wisdom is modest. It doesn't puff itself up. It doesn't in any way try to present itself as smarter than thou or holier than thou. It's modest, pure, innocent, modest. It is peace-loving. What that means, in part, is that it fosters peace. A person who is wise enables people, encourages people to get along. A wise person is not disruptive to relationships. A wise person has in mind, I need to say something. And I don't care who it hurts, I need to say this. As opposed to, there's something I need to say. Oh God, help me to say it so I can be heard, so it will be heard. Let me say it considerately, softly. May the person I have to say this to, may they hear it may they hear the love in my heart. That's wisdom. That's how it expresses itself. It fosters peace, or peace-loving, as the NIV has it. It is considerate. It just occurred to me that I need to reiterate something. I pushed it last week, and I need to push it again today. This paragraph about being wise is not just about being good. It's not just about being nice. It's all those things too. But it is about following Jesus. It's about following Jesus. It's about being the kind of people God wants us to be. Please do not make the mistake that James and sort of me are saying to you, okay, you got to be nice. Well, that's true, but it's more than that. It's about being obedient to God. It's about following Jesus. The reason I say that is the next word that describes a wise person is considerate. James says that a wise person is considerate. Considerate of others. Whenever they speak, that others, when they hear what has to be said to them, will understand that the person there who's saying these things is being considerate. Actually, another word for this is courtesy. Now, who would have thought that in that word of God, the trait of courtesy is important? We would say, well, that's just good manners. No. According to the Word of God, it's about being what God wants us to be, courteous. I can't remember now if I told you the story. When I should think about these things before I preach, but when our youngest daughter was in fifth or sixth grade, we were at the dinner table. And I said, would you pass me the potatoes? And she said to me, please? And I said, well, wait a minute. I think my please was understood in when I said, would you? And she, no, you need to say please. I'm the adult here, I'm thinking to myself, and it's my daughter who's correcting me to be courteous. So yeah, I said please. But when she did that, she did not know, but when she did that, she was following the instruction of God's word that I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and to be courteous. Who'd have thunk it? That God's word would say to us that it's important to be courteous. Courteous, considerate, submissive means, is the next quality, and it means willing to yield. Someone who is wise is willing to say, you know what? You're right. You know what? I'm wrong about that. That's what a wise person does. It's sort of an extension of that. A wise person, therefore, is a person who's willing to say, you know what? I'm sorry. Maybe not like that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I was wrong to say that. I was wrong to do that. I was wrong. A wise person says that. A wise person knows full and well they're not always right, and they're just as subject to the possibility of being wrong as anyone else, even though they are wise. They're able to say, I was wrong about that. And you need to know that. Submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit. Good fruit. Impartial. This is an important theme to James. He's spent sections on this already. Impartial, no favoritism. Doesn't treat one person, one, if you will, kind of person one way, and another person of a different kind a different way. It doesn't treat a poor person one way and a rich person another way. It doesn't treat a person of color one way and a person, an Anglo person in another way. It doesn't treat people who speak the language well and those who are learning the language, they don't treat them differently. They treat them all the same with grace and kindness. That's what a wise person does. That's what wisdom does. Sincere goes with impartial without hypocrisy. The last thing is someone who is wise is a peacemaker. Now, I want you to ask yourself, having heard those descriptions, when you thought of someone who was wise, did you have those things in mind? Or did you have in mind someone that says profound things? Oh, that person's wise. James says, well, they might well be. Or not. It all depends. James says, you know what it depends on? It depends on how they live. If they are, in fact, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, without hypocrisy, are they peacemakers? I want to be invited to meetings because people think I'm wise. That's a problem for me. According to the Word of God, if I want people to think of me as wise, it's not because of what I might say in a meeting. It's because of how I live. That's true for all of us. Would you rather be wise, known as wise, treated as wise, or would you rather be wise? Do you want to be wise as God defines wise? Why is that important? Because it's important to God. Because it's about following Jesus. Let's pray.